If you would open your Bibles with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. I bring you greetings from our brethren in Danville. We had such a good service and good times with the folks there last Sunday. Brother Eric is preaching there this morning, so we want to remember him in prayer. I would sure like to thank the men who put this new handrail in. I can't seem to find anybody to take credit for it. But boy, it's beautiful. It's much safer and prettier, and we sure appreciate that. All right, Philippians chapter 3, we'll read the first 15 verses. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed it's not grievous, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, the mutilators, those who would put some measure of the law on you. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, mature, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. All right, let's stand together as Sean leads us in singing our call to worship.
As on the cross of Christ I thought, it seemed I heard one cry. Is all this nothing in your eyes, who you this day pass by? Is not such suffering greater than that which you've seen before? And was there ever any man who grieved or suffered more? I looked again, and what I saw I cannot fully tell. It seemed within his very bones there raged the fire of hell. What caused you grief, I ask the man, what crimes could you have done? That God Jehovah struck you down and left you all alone. His answer cut my heart like steel and left me void of. Is for your sins this pain I feel, for you I go to death. Your soul before my Father's throne could find no place to hide. His This is the way God can be just, and you be justified. Jehovah's mercies never fail, each morning they are new. Great in his faithfulness and love, therefore we're not consumed. Jehovah God in Christ, the Son shall all my portion be. My soul shall therefore wait for him and live eternally.
If you would, please turn in your red hymnal to song number 228, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him, He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me.
If you would please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. The pastor has asked that we read a portion of 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou for therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We'll end our reading there. All together in prayer, please. Our great God and holy Heavenly Father, we come to thee this morning only through the blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that we be found in him, dressed in his righteousness, Father. We have nothing we can offer in ourselves. We just stand in Christ. And thankful for the lesson this morning of your compassion towards sinners and your grace. So thankful for your free and sovereign grace to sinners. We ask that you be with Frank as he stands to preach to us this morning. Cause us to not be taken up with the things that we need to do in our homes or in our jobs in the days and weeks ahead, but cause us to focus on the message prepared. Let us truly worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this hour. Show us more of him and his salvation, how great he is and how little and small and insignificant we are. Show us our need of him and each and every day. Cause us to know that we can do nothing without you and in our lives. To know that everything that we have is a gift of your hand and we're dependent on thee. Pray for Eric in this time also. Be with him and other men that stand to preach your gospel this morning. Let the gospel run well this morning in each place you've sent it. Pray for those that are still going through difficult times and troubles and trials. Give them grace and compassion at this time. Pray for our friends or family members or children, Father, that it be your will that you reveal Christ to them and call them through the preaching of the gospel and save them by your grace. So we leave this place after the worship service. Be with us, guide us, and direct us each day. Leave us not alone. Keep us anchored on Christ and increase our faith in him. These things we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. all my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand. One by one the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
If you would, open your Bibles now with me back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Passage Brother Wayne just read for us. I've titled the message this morning, Blessed Assurance. I think this is something that every child of God is interested in. Enjoying assurance of our salvation. And you know, we should. A believer can. And we should enjoy the assurance of salvation. The salvation of God's elect is a thing that is absolutely sure and certain. It cannot fail. So we always have assurance of salvation, don't we? But we don't always enjoy it to its fullest. And it's because of our sin nature. It causes us to doubt and to fear. But still yet, a believer can, and we should, be able to enjoy the assurance of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have to wait until we get to heaven to finally enjoy assurance of our salvation. And I know folks are looking for assurance. Everybody wants assurance. You know, it's like the old country song, looking for love in all the wrong places. If you want assurance, don't be looking for it in all the wrong places now. Assurance of salvation can never be found in what we do or what we don't do. If you're looking for assurance and you're looking in yourself, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Assurance of salvation cannot come from our outward morality, our outward religious persona, you know, that we show folks. Assurance of salvation can only come by knowing Christ, by looking to Christ, by looking to Him for everything that you need, and by resting in Christ. The more you're working, trying to improve your salvation, the less assurance you'll have. If you'll rest, just rest in Christ. That's assurance and peace. And there are four key words in our text this morning that tell us this. My text is verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now the first word here that tells us where assurance is found and how to enjoy it is know. The blessed assurance of salvation. There's some knowledge involved in this thing. Salvation is a heart work, but now there's some knowledge involved in this thing. But this blessed assurance doesn't come from knowing the right doctrine or knowing the right creed or knowing the right way to act. Assurance comes from knowing Christ. Paul says, I know whom I have believed. He didn't say, I know what I believe. I know whom I have believed. Knowing Christ, that's life eternal. Now, if you have eternal life, it's eternal life. That's sure, isn't it? I can't think of a more sure thing. If we have eternal life, we can enjoy this assurance of salvation. Knowing Christ, it's looking to Christ, looking to Him and seeing that He is all it takes to save you. It's looking to Him. Look and live. Look to Him and see. He's everything that it takes to save you. Now, if you know Christ, this is what you know. You know this. You don't need anything else but Him. He's all that you need. Now, if in Christ, if you have everything that God requires for salvation, everything that requires of you, you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you ought to have full assurance of salvation, shouldn't you? You ought to be able to enjoy this assurance. Having everything, lacking nothing, that's about as sure as it gets, isn't it? Well, if we have everything, we ought to be able to enjoy that assurance of salvation. Knowing Christ. It's not just knowing His name. There's a lot of names that I know. People, you know, famous people or whatever, presidents, whoever. People I know their names, but I don't know them. Knowing Christ is experiencing Christ in the heart. It's Christ dwelling in you. That's the hope of glory. Knowing Christ is experiencing the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing the definition of grace is a whole lot different than experiencing it, isn't it? It's experiencing that. If your hope of glory is all found in Christ, if your hope of glory is all found in God's grace, then you should enjoy assurance of salvation, because that's where it's found. And knowing Christ is to cherish Christ, to cherish Him, to love Christ so much that not only do you not need anything else, you don't want anything else, because you cherish Him. If all you have is Christ, and by that I mean that none of your hope is based on any of your works, but that all you have, the only hope you have is Christ, then you should enjoy assurance of salvation, because it's found in Him. It's safe and secure in Him. Knowing Christ is to have a constant dependence on Christ. Constantly depending on Him. And you know what? That doesn't change. No matter how long you know Christ, no matter how long you've been trusting Him, that never changes. A constant dependent on Christ. That's what Paul told the church at Philippi, the passage I read to open the service. Paul knew Christ. He said, I know Him. But oh, he said, that I may know Him. I may know Him better. So that I may depend more fully on Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith. Faith and dependence on Christ. It's a constant dependence. And there are a lot of things I know. There's a lot of things that you know. There's a lot of spiritual things that we know. But everything that I know completely depends on who I know. See, I know, I mean, righteousness, there's a religious word for it. You know, people talk about righteousness. This is what I know. I know that righteousness is all in Christ and none of it's in me. You know how I know that? Because I know Christ. I know Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. I know that forgiveness of sin is all found in the precious blood of Christ. His blood can cleanse from all sin. You know how I know that? I know Christ. I know His perfect holiness, His perfect righteousness, His precious blood. I know that because I know Him. I know this. This is not just a doctrinal saying to me. I know that all of God's elect shall be saved. I know that. I know that. Just I know none of them can perish. I know that. You know why I know that? Because I know Christ. He cannot fail. He can't fail. He's going to save His people. And I know this, that Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, He will keep all His sheep. He will. I know if I'm one of His sheep, I'm not going to wander off the cliff and fall into hell and perish. I know that. You know how I know that? Because I know Christ, the shepherd of the sheep. See, any religious thing that I think I know that does not come from knowing Christ is not true. But anything that I know, because I know Christ, it has to be true. And that's where assurance is found. It's knowing Christ, knowing Him. All right, the second word that tells us where assurance is found, how assurance is to be enjoyed, is believed. Paul says, I know whom I have believed. And this word believed, it means to trust in. So this believing that we're talking about here, this saving faith, this believing Christ, so I have assurance of salvation. It's not believing the right doctrines, the doctrines of grace. Now, when I say that, please understand, I'm not minimizing the importance of doctrine. I want to have sound doctrinal preaching. Doctrine is very important because those doctrines teach us who Christ is. But I tell you, as long as I can remember, I've always been a Calvinist. I mean, I wasn't saved. I didn't know Christ. I could have no assurance in that. Assurance doesn't come from believing the right doctrines, true facts. Salvation and assurance come from believing a person, a whom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you believe Him. If you would have assurance for your soul, assurance for your heart, believe Him. Believe Christ. Rest in Him. And God's elect, that's what they do. Whenever God introduces Himself to them, this is what they'll do. They'll believe on Christ. They believe Him. And it's not just they do believe on Christ. They believe in Him. They believe in His name. They believe on His name. But it's not just believing on Christ. It's believing Christ. It's believing Him. They believe Christ. You know why? Because they know Him. They know Him. To know Christ is to love Christ. To know Christ is to believe Him. And if you know Christ, you have to believe Him. If you know Him, you'll trust Him. You know He's trustworthy. You know His character. You know who He is. You'll trust Him. If you know Christ, this is what you believe. You believe He'll do exactly what He said He'd do. He's going to save His people from their sins. If you believe Christ, you'll trust Him. You'll trust Him personally to be everything your soul needs. You'll trust Him to be all your wisdom, your righteousness, your sanctification, and your redemption. If you believe Christ, you're going to trust Him. You're going to trust Him to save you, and you're going to trust Him to bring you from here to there, from here to glory, and to present you faultless before His Father in glory. You believe that, don't you? If you believe Christ, you do. Well, that'll let us take a deep breath and enjoy full assurance of salvation. He's going to do it all, and He can't fail. If you believe Christ, you trust Him. You trust Him so you don't feel like you have to do something to make your salvation more secure or make God happier with you. You just don't feel like you have to do any of that because you believe Christ. You believe it's all in Him. If you believe Christ, this is what it comes down to. You don't believe you've got to add to Him. If you believe Christ, you know He's perfect and you're perfect in Him. Then you don't have to add to Him. And if we have to rely on any of our works for salvation, before regeneration or after, if we got to rely on any of our works to get saved or to keep our salvation, we will never find assurance for our souls. Never. Because our works will never be good enough, and we'll know it if we're honest with ourselves at all. Somebody that thinks that their works are good enough to make God happy with them is either lying or they're delusional. If we're honest with ourselves, we'll know our works can't do anything to make God happy with us. But if we trust Christ, we have everything that we need. And that is the full assurance of salvation. Because this is what we know. He cannot fail. He's perfect. And the Father always accepts perfection. Now this thing of believing, if we're going to be saved, if we're going to have this assurance of salvation, we must believe Christ. And this is worth saying. I say to each of you, me and you, you must believe Christ. You must believe. Nobody else can do it for you. You must believe. Look at John chapter 8. Hang with me here. I'm just starting to make a point. Hang with me. If we would be saved, you would be saved, you must believe Christ. If I would be saved, I must believe Christ. Look what our Lord says here in John 8, verse 24. I said therefore unto you that you should die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. The reason people die in their sin is they don't believe Christ. That's why. It's not God. It's not because God didn't elect them. It's because that's what the Lord says. You're going to die in your sins because you do not believe Christ. You see what the Lord is saying here is you must believe. If you would be saved, if you would have this blessed assurance, you must believe. But here's the problem. Now, that's a true statement, but here's the problem. By nature, we cannot believe. We have a sin nature that cannot and will not believe. No matter what we do, we cannot make ourselves believe. We can't decide to believe on Christ because our nature is not capable of it. Look over a page or two at John chapter 10. Verse 26, the Savior says, "But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you." It's not that you're not my sheep because you don't believe. No, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. You don't believe because you have a nature that will not and cannot believe Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. Now the sheep, God's elect, they will believe on Christ. Salvation's of the Lord. Faith is a gift that God gives to his elect. He gives it to all of his sheep. That's why they believe. So if we would be saved, the Holy Spirit must give us faith. He's got to give us this gift of faith. Yes, you must believe on Christ, but you will not and you cannot until God the Holy Spirit gives you faith. And this is why the elect believe. This is why the sheep believe, because God gives them faith. And when he gives them faith, what do? They believe Christ. They look to him and they follow him. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Why'd that happen? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. See, we enjoy assurance of salvation simply by believing Christ, by believing he's enough, by believing that he's all. The writer to the Hebrews said in chapter 4, verse 3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." Why do we enter into rest? Why do we not keep working, trying to make God happy with us? Because we believed. We believe that Christ is enough. That's the only way. The only way you can rest is if you believe somebody finished the work. Somebody did something you can't do, they finished the work. Well, I believe Christ. He finished it. All righteousness, all of salvation is in him. Then we can rest and quit working, trying to make ourselves more saved. Because we believe Christ. See, believing Christ, that lets us enjoy this blessed assurance. All right, now the third word that tells us where assurance is found and how it's enjoyed is persuaded. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded of this, that he's able. I'm persuaded of it." And the word persuaded means induced by words to believe. Believers are induced to believe. They're made to believe. I want to preach in such a way that I compel you to believe Christ, to compel you to look to him. Believers are induced to believe by hearing the words of the gospel, by hearing of Christ. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing of Christ. How can you believe on Christ? How can you know him? How can you believe on him if somebody doesn't tell you who he is? We use words to tell folks who Christ is by hearing the gospel. That's the means that God uses to give faith to his elect. Faith cometh by hearing. And if God will ever let us know Christ, if he'll introduce himself to us and let us know Christ, I can tell you this, we'll be persuaded to believe him. Nobody's begging you to believe. You'll be persuaded to believe him. You just won't be able to help it. You know, part of this word persuaded, it means induced by words to believe. But it also has to do with obedience, to obey God. Well, what is the commandment of God that we're to obey? Aren't you glad it's not the law? Aren't you glad it's not the Ten Commandments? Aren't you glad you don't have to keep all those things and pretend you're perfect and try to pretend to everybody else, you know, you have assurance? It's not the law. The commandment of God is this: believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe Christ. That is the commandment of God. And if we're persuaded, we're convinced that Christ is salvation, oh, we'll believe him. We'll obey God and we'll believe Christ. And Paul says here, "I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded of something." See, everything is all connects to Christ. I'm persuaded. I'm not persuaded of the doctrine. I'm not persuaded of this. I'm persuaded that he is able. He is able to do what? Anything. He's able to do anything and everything he he said he'd do. He's able to do it. Christ is able to save. He said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm persuaded he's got the power to do it. I'm persuaded he's going to do it. He's got the power and the love to do it. Christ is able. He's able to make his people. They're born dead in sin. They're filthy. They're vile. They're wretched. But Christ is able to make his people holy, pure, spotless, to make them whole. He said that's what he came to do, by his obedience to the law for them, to make them righteous in his obedience. I'm persuaded he's able. Christ is able to make his people see him and to believe on him. And I'm persuaded. Not only am I persuaded he's able, I'm persuaded he's going to do it. Some of you, I know you. Don't believe. You just don't believe Christ. You just can't see it, can you? You just can't see it. And I'm like the apostle here. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Nevertheless, I'm not confounded. Nevertheless, I'm not discouraged. That's why I keep standing up here as best I can every week preaching Christ to you. Because I'm persuaded he's able. I'm persuaded he's able to make you see. And if you see him, you'll rest in him. You believe. It's the gift of faith that he gives. He's able. Christ is able. He's able to save his people and to keep them saved. I'm persuaded of that because of the power of his grace. It's like the kinsman redeemer in the Old Testament. Like old brother Boaz. I like Boaz, don't you? He's the kinsman redeemer. That kinsman redeemer, there's a couple qualifications he had to have. He had to be willing to redeem. He had to be willing to do it. He also had to be able to do it. There's a lot of things I'm willing to do I can't do. Kinsman redeemer had to be willing and he had to be able to redeem. Well, this is what the believer's persuaded of. Aren't you persuaded that Christ is willing to redeem? He's more willing to save than you are to be saved. He's willing to redeem, isn't he? That's the very reason he was made flesh. That's why he came in the flesh, to save his people who are in the flesh. He came in the flesh to be their substitute, to be their representative. Oh, he's willing to redeem. There's no question about that. Now, I'm also persuaded of this. He's able. He's able to redeem. We're persuaded. You know why a believer's persuaded? The Lord Jesus Christ is able to redeem because he's God. And he can't fail to do what he came to do. He's God. His blood is perfect and precious. I'm persuaded of this. He got the job done. I'm persuaded of it. And I tell you a good example of this, this persuasion, being persuaded that he's able, is Abraham. I would just kind of imagine Abraham living there in his father's house. He's a grown man. He's married. He's, you know, and sounds like his father was a rich man. He's living there in the bosom of that great big family. You know, that's where they had protection and things at that time, a big family compound or something that they had, you know. And Abraham was willing to leave all of that, to take what he could carry on his back, whatever donkeys or whatever his father gave him, take Sarah and a couple servants and Lot, his worthless nephew, and walk out into the desert, having no idea where he was going. Why was he willing to do that? He was persuaded that God was able. He said, Abraham, you go. I'll show you where you're going. He was persuaded God to do it. After everything transpired after that, there came a day God came to Abraham. And we think, well, wouldn't you like to hear God just audibly speak to you? I bet it caught Abraham's breath. Eventually, God spoke to him. God said, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And God said, take your son, your only son Isaac. Take him to a place I'll show you. And you offer him there as a burnt offering. And Abraham packed up and got walking. And he was willing to go up on the top of that mountain, him and Isaac alone, and slaughter that son. Cut his throat, draw and quarter his body, and burn it to ashes on an altar. He's willing to do that. You parents, you willing to do that? Huh? I don't know. Alec, you just been at this a little while. You wait till she grows. You willing to do that? Abraham was. Why? He was persuaded. God's going to keep his promise. The Messiah is coming through this boy. He thought, I'm going to kill him. God's going to raise him from the dead. He's persuaded. He's, I don't know how. God's going to keep his word. God's going to keep his promise. Abraham left a wealthy family, and he wandered in tents the whole rest of his life, never owned one bit of land except for his and Sarah's burial plots. You know why Abraham was willing? He was persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Look at Romans chapter 4. That's what Paul tells us here. He was persuaded. Romans chapter 4. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now hold your finger there. We'll come back to Romans in a minute. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. You know, we hold up Abraham as that example, the father of the faithful. But do you know every believer will be like Abraham? They're going to follow the Lord because they're persuaded of him. They're not going to leave the gospel because they're persuaded. This is the only message. This is the only message of God. And you know why they won't leave? You know why they'll keep following him? Because they're persuaded. They're persuaded that Christ is the only Savior. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. They didn't receive them all in this life, but having seen them afar off, and they were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they are strangers and pilgrims in the earth. They died in faith, and they followed God, and they trusted Christ until they died. They just kept following because they were persuaded. God's going to do what he said he'd do. God's going to give me the inheritance he said he would give me. Now here's assurance. You and I will do the same thing if God saved us. God's the one who saved us. You and I will do the very same thing. Because if God saves you, you're going to be persuaded. Christ is all. And you'll follow him. You'll trust him and you'll not leave him. And it's not because you're so strong. It's not because, oh, I'm going to be so strong. No. God's persuaded you that Christ is all your soul needs. And you'll hang on to him. You have no other hope. Now look back at Romans chapter 8. Now that's where assurance comes from. It's by being persuaded that the Lord Jesus Christ is able. Now here's enjoying that assurance in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Now this is my persuasion. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's enjoying assurance of salvation. Come what may, doesn't matter. I'm persuaded of this. I can't be separated from Christ. See, enjoying assurance is being able to say, sink or swim, I go to Him. Enjoying assurance is saying this, if I'm going to perish, I'm going to perish at the feet of Christ, begging for mercy. If I'm going to perish, that's where I'm going to perish. I'm just determined that. And here's assurance. Nobody yet has perished at the feet of Christ, begging for mercy. Not one. And I'm not so special, I'll be first. I'm persuaded of that. Assurance is not being persuaded that I'm going to straighten up and fly right and start sinning less. I can't be persuaded of that. Because this is what I'm persuaded of. This is what I'm persuaded of. I'm persuaded of my sinfulness. That's what I'm persuaded of. Assurance is being persuaded that the blood of Christ cleanses me from all sin. Not that I'm going to sin less, but He cleanses me from it. Assurance is not that I know I'm going to persevere to the end because of my own ability, just because of my personal refusal to look anywhere else. Well, Peter thought that one day, didn't he? He said, Lord, these other fellows might leave you, but I won't. No, I'll die with you. There's no assurance there, was there? Took a teenage girl to run Peter off. Enjoying assurance is being persuaded of our inability and His ability. That's enjoying assurance. It's being persuaded that the Lord's able to keep me from falling, and He'll present me faultless before His presence in glory before the Father. Enjoying assurance is knowing I'm secure. Because I know whom I have believed. I know who's holding me. And no man is able to pluck me from His hand. Enjoying assurance is this: I'm persuaded that the Lord Jesus Christ won't even lose one that the Father gave me to save. Not one. Because He's able. All right, here's the fourth word. This tells us where assurance is found and how to enjoy it. It's commitment. Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I saw that word committed, and I thought about myself. I thought about my dear wife. I'm committed to her. I love her. I'm committed to her. I don't want to be anywhere else but with her. But that's not what this word means. It means to deposit to one's faithful keeping. It means to deposit everything that's important to you to the care of somebody else. Being committed to Christ is to deposit your soul, to deposit your eternal soul to Christ's faithful keeping. He'll keep it because I can't. Just like you take your money, you deposit in the bank, and you go up to the drive-thru, you put your money in the bank, they give you a slip, and you drive home and you never think about it again. Because you're just sure they're going to keep it. They'll faithfully keep it safe for you. Commitment to Christ is depositing your soul to His faithful keeping and just not worrying about it because He's faithful that promised. And you don't need help in keeping because you know He'll keep your soul secure. So you don't have anything to worry about. Paul says here, that day, Christ will keep your soul secure to that day, to the day of judgment, to the day of His coming. Now that's enjoying assurance, to not fear the judgment, to not fear Christ's return. Enjoying assurance is actually looking forward to Christ's return. It's looking forward to the judgment. You know why a believer can look forward to the judgment? Christ made you not guilty. You're not guilty. You have nothing to fear. Enjoying assurance is looking forward to Christ's return. I know a lot of the world fears it, but the believer doesn't. I look forward to it. Because in that day, when we see Him, we'll be made just like Him. He's going to take us from this place to be with Him. A number no man can number will all seem face to face at the same time. I try to figure that. I look forward to that. I look forward to it. No fear. There's nothing to fear if you trust in Christ. See, commitment to Christ is committing everything to Him. I commit all my sins to Him to wash away under His precious blood. I commit all my righteousness to Him. I'm committed. He's got to be all my righteousness or I won't have any. I commit all my past, all my present, and all my future to Christ. Take care of it. I commit all of my hope, all of my life, all of my salvation to Christ. I put it all in Him. Trust to His faithful care. And we enjoy assurance when we just lean entirely on Christ. We commit everything to Him. And in closing, let me give you this little example. Last week, after I preached in Danville, my wife and I went to visit some family on the 5th. Monday, we went out on Jan's uncle's boat. I went down there and got in that boat. And I just enjoyed that ride so much. A bunch of the family was there. And you know why I enjoyed it? Because I committed my safety to that boat. It's a big lake. I don't know how deep it was. I never worried about it. Because I committed my safety to the seaworthiness of that boat. I didn't try to swim alongside the boat. You know, maybe if I get out of the boat and kind of hang on and swim, it'll be easier for the boat to go where it's going. No, I didn't do that. I just relaxed on the boat. I enjoyed the scenery. I enjoyed the conversation. I didn't use my hands to reach out and try to paddle that boat. You know, if I paddle, maybe we'll save some gas. You know, we won't run out of gas in the middle of the lake. I didn't worry about that. I just committed my safety to get where we're going and get back to the power of that engine. Our cousin was driving that boat. I didn't tell him how to go, where to go. There's all these coves and places. I didn't know where to turn. He did. I just committed it to him. He'd get me where we're going. We're going to go out and get a hamburger. Come back. I didn't know where this place was. I would have had no idea. He took that boat and parallel parked it up against this pier. Better than I'd do a car. I don't know how he did that. I didn't have to. I just committed it to him, and he did fine. I trusted him to know the best places to go. And how to get back home. I enjoyed the ride. And I enjoyed the company. That's committing all to Christ. As hard as it is sometimes, it's enjoying the ride. Really, it's trusting Christ to know the best place to go, the best time to get there. It's trust. It's just committing it to Him. It's enjoying the presence. His presence, enjoying the company on the ride, enjoying the presence of the Savior. Can you do that at night when you're brokenhearted, your pillow's wet with tears, your body's racked with pain? You can enjoy His presence. Yeah, you can. You can enjoy the presence of the people God sends our way. On this journey, we can just enjoy it. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to cause us to enjoy assurance of salvation in Christ. See, if He saved us, that salvation is secure, isn't it? I mean, there's no doubt about it. Well, then we may as well enjoy it. We may as well be assured of it, hadn't we? And enjoy it. And we will if we know whom. We believe Him. We believe Him. We trust Him. And we commit our all to Him. Oh, God, bless that to your heart. Let's bow together. Our Father, oh, how we thank You for salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank You for Christ, our righteousness, our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. How we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace that would save such vile, guilty sinners such as we are. Father, how we thank You. And how we thank You that You and Your compassion and tenderness to Your people, give us assurance, calmness of that salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to enjoy it. Cause us to fret and worry less. Cause us to quit trying to help out and just commit our all to Christ, to believe Him, to trust Him, to rest Him, to look to Him, and rest in Him. Father, for Your glory, would you get glory to your name in saving your people, calling them out by the preaching of your gospel, by convincing them to come to Christ. And would you get glory to your name by keeping, preserving your people, and cause us in the midst of this vile, sinful world and these wretched bodies of flesh to enjoy the full assurance of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's got to be your doing. You've got to be the one to get the glory from it. Father, would you show us your glory in our day? It's in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For his sake, we pray. Amen. Sean, come lead us in a song.
If you would, please stand and turn to song number 255, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.